You're listening to the Snap UK podcast. If you're that one Dolphins fan left, it happened. You won a game. You remember how that feels? So you can turn the lights off now. See you next year. Oh, and for everyone else, the Pats lost. Let's do this.
Hello and welcome to the Snap UK podcast, your weekly review of all things NFL by those in the know on this side of the pond. I am Johnny Flash, and with me for the week nine review show, I have Jimmy G, Fourfin Inches, and Griff. It's mid-season power rankings time at the end of the show, but before then, a host of games to cover. So let's get started with the Packers, who were beaten both easily and surprisingly by what's been a pretty disappointing Chargers team. So Packers 11, Chargers 26.
Turns out Ken Whisenhunt was the problem all along. And you sack your offensive coordinator after a game you won the previous week. And all of a sudden your star running back will start getting, 19 carries?
20.
Oh. 20 carries.
But for me, this wasn't what they were doing on offense. It was they made the Packers look completely anemic on their
offense. Looked like the Packers from week one, didn't it?
It did. The Packers from Mike McCarthy.
But also, it's Joey Bosa showing up again and Melvin Ingram showing up. And that pass rush is...
They played on the same side, didn't they?
Yeah, on paper, that pass rush has been one of the best pass rushes in the league for the last 3-4 years. And Sunday, they actually turned up because they've not been really doing it all season. I think Joey Bosa's been good, but Melvin Ingram hasn't, and vice versa. On Sunday, they both played well. They both got to Rodgers quickly. The Packers couldn't really get their running game going. Aaron Jones, eight carries for 30 yards. And that showed. And Rodgers had a very, very, very average game for Aaron Rodgers. Very game manager.
Game manager-esque. Yeah. I mean, look, it's an aberration for the Packers. It's not something they should be particularly concerned about, other than the fact you can't have it repeat next week. To get two games like this in a row would be a concern, but the odd game like this happens to teams. This is why we won't see many, if any, 16-0 teams, which we'll get on to.
I think the interesting thing for me was looking at... It was the NFC North versus the AFC West this weekend, wasn't it?
Yes.
And all three teams of NFC North lost to the AFC West.
Four teams.
All four NFC North teams lost,
and yep. All four AFC West teams won.
And every one of them lost on the road. So it was is the NFC North as good as we thought?
It's very inconsistent. I mean, the Vikings we know are up and down depending on how Kirk Cousins decides to play. The Packers clearly have some way to go before they are dominant. And
the Bears stink,
and the Lions. Lions
are rebuilding.
Yeah, they're not a complete
team. We're not rebuilding, they're building. So I don't think you can count them within it.
Did you know the Green Bay running back duo has the most touchdowns by a running back duo this season with 17 between them?
Do you know what's a really lovely feeling? Knowing that I can talk about how good Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams have been this season.
He really is very good.
No one's telling you off this week.
It's completely agreeable, isn't it?
Yeah.
They're doing very well.
The unit that isn't doing well, and I don't think they've been really doing well for the last few weeks, is the Green Bay defense, who started off the season very, very, very well. They've kind of tailored off over the last few weeks as the team kind of leans more on the offense, and that's part of the issue that they had on Sunday, that the offense wasn't firing, but then the defense was playing as well as it had been for the last few weeks, and they weren't able to stop, Philip Rivers, who has been falling off a cliff for most of the season.
They've regressed since week four. They've been steadily getting worse. But, this was the first time this season when Philip Rivers showed up. And you've got to think the Ken Whisenhunt firing has something to do with it, because Rivers actually looked confident. Melvin Gordon looked like a competent player who was being utilised properly. And Austin Ekeler was involved as well. It wasn't just one or the other. They quite often had both on the field. So... mid-season coordinator changes don't always pay off, but this one, on a one-game sample at least, looks to have changed enough to get them going.
It was also the first 100-yard game for Mike Williams this year, and that takes some pressure off Keenan Allen, where he doesn't have to do everything. And Hunter Henry's come back into the team and has looked really good. He had 7 catches for 84 yards
on
Sunday. Yeah, I mean, we'll see if he can stay fit. But for a young quarterback, but also for an aging quarterback, that tight end position is really valuable.
Oh, and especially for Philip Rivers, because most of his play in his first few years was literally, where's Gates?
Yeah, so he's used to having a dominant tight end there.
there was a joke there, but I'm definitely going to leave it. I'll tell you off. No, there is a joke there. I'll tell you off it. So, with regards to the Chargers, there's been a lot of talk about them moving to London today.
Today.
This is just something that's come out of nowhere, right?
$5 billion stadium being built right now.
Yeah, but they've got no fans to fill it. That is
they're in the suburbs in Los Angeles.
Carson City.
So they're in the, they have their own sort of catchment area, and they're still not getting fans.
Yeah, but it's a catchment area they share with the Rams, and they also share it with two to three big basketball teams, a couple of baseball teams. Well, football's never been as big in California as it probably is in other states.
There's in LA, other they follow winners.
Yeah.
And the Chargers are not winners.
I think I don't think the Chargers will move to London. I think this is a bit of a play by the NFL to try and get a 17-game season and say to the NFLPA, Players Association, that if you don't have a 17-game season, we're going to put a team in London. What would you prefer?
Is that really what you think they're trying to do?
Yeah, I think it's a bit of a play.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Or they're trying to force Shad Khan's hand in terms of moving the Jaguars to London, which was probably the original plan if there was going
to
be one.
Well, I mean, to be fair, Shad Khan and the Jags has shown that you don't need a fan base to have an NFL team.
My favourite thing from this game was when the commentator, whose name now escapes me, I was just trying to look it up, I couldn't find it in time.
Matt Money Smith.
Was that who it was? He described...
I don't know if it was, he was on TV. He's a radio commentator.
It might have been him. Yeah. He described Chargers kicker Mike Badgley, who's been on IR most of the season. This was his first game back. He described him as the money badger as he shanked a kick wide left. And you're like, oh, no. Don't do that. That's a terrible curse.
You know, off the bat.
Prior to coming back, he trademarked the money badger.
Did he really?
Yes.
Well, he shouldn't have, because this was not a good performance.
I mean, it's just a bad nickname anyway, isn't
it? Oh, no, I quite like it.
To be fair, the kicking this season has been...
It's been terrible, isn't it?
Yeah. It has sucked the biggest dick going.
Even the game last night, there was a good few misses.
Not mine.
Unless you're Justin Tucker, it's been awful.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of problems. I've been wondering if they've changed something in the last few years, because every year now we seem to talk about more and more kicker issues, and there's more coming up today. But Badgley was one they've been relying on. You don't stash a kicker on IR unless you think he's going to be well worth it. And, you know, he did score 3 out of 4, but...
Yeah, to be fair, the Titans had Ryan Succop come off IR and miss 3 field goals.
Yeah, so. Which is a catastrophe. That's not a good thing at all.
Yeah, well, nothing better to follow an NFC North defeat than with a second, third and fourth. So, yeah, Vikings, they lost 23-26 against Mahomes-less Chiefs. Matt Moore delivered another solid performance.
I mean...
Bugger.
You had one job. One job.
Oh, no.
You had one job. So, play the music.
More. How do you like it? Another solid performance.
No, it's gone now.
This is why Paul is not in the production department.
I see you're the Rachel Stevens version as well.
Production values.
Mixing it up a bit.
We have Gary back. Damian Williams, a huge touchdown run as well. Was it a 91-yard touchdown run?
Yes, it was.
And Tyreek Hill blazed past him, which was brilliant.
That was incredible. He was like 20 metres behind him, though.
Yeah, and he caught him up with 15 or 20 yards
to
go.
The fastest run by an NFL player this season.
Apparently, Tyreek Hill and Damian Williams have been arguing over which one of them is fastest over the length
There's
of the
no
field.
There's no argument anymore.
No, there really isn't. He'd overtaken him. It was brilliant. Harrison Butker kicked the game winner right at the death of this one. This wasn't an awful performance from Kirk Cousins, but you've got to win this game. And they went 3 and out, gave the Chiefs the ball for a field goal. 3 and out, gave the Chiefs the ball for the winner. You only got to get one of those third and whatever it was, 3rd and 3, 3rd and 4. And they didn't get it. And they should have won the game. So whilst it's not entirely on Kirk Cousins, this is one of those games where he only needed to be 5% better. And he isn't 5% better.
Yeah. Well...
He got outplayed by Matt Moore more.
Well, did he got outplayed by the Chiefs' offense.
Yeah, he got
played.
Andy Reid.
Well, I think this is the last couple of games. I think it's a massive, massive win for Andy Reid and his place game, because Matt Moore's come straight in, and let's face it, Matt Moore was a journeyman quarterback. He hadn't played at all last year. He wasn't even on the team. He came back to be on the Chiefs team as a backup because he knew he'd be on a winning team. He's come in.
I told you he was a good player.
Sorry?
I told you he was a good player 2 years ago.
Yeah, but seriously. Yeah.
Oh, I did. Anyway, he's come on to a good team and he looks like a world beater.
But I go back to the point I raised last week. You could put a cabbage in the backfield.
Well, this is the point, yeah.
Who is throwing to amazing receivers?
Yeah. Do you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of 2 years ago when Alex Smith did this in the Andy Reid offense. Yeah. That's exactly what it looked like. Don't make any mistakes, Matt. And when you see Tyreek open, throw the ball as hard as you can in his direction. That's all he has to do. And he's done it brilliantly. He's done it for 2 weeks. It's not his fault they didn't win last week.
You say they've got great receivers. The Vikings have got great receivers as well.
Well, though, Phelan
was injured. Diggs had one catch for 4 yards. Who do you want to know who had the most yards for the Minnesota Vikings?
Yes.
Laquon Treadwell.
Laquon, back off IR.
Back off IR.
Already
back
dropped
from
once.
Being cut. Finally had some semblance of a game, but he only had 58 yards. So it wasn't an amazing game. The running game, Dalvin Cook had 71 yards. It wasn't brilliant. The Chiefs' defense seems to have turned up a little bit in the last few games. That actually seems to be doing more.
Matt Moore.
I realised what I did there just as I said it.
The Vikings have got 4 or more sacks in 5 consecutive games this season, though, which is
they're a very good defence.
The defence has been outstanding. I think better than they get credit for.
Yeah, you look, on paper, that Vikings team is probably one of the best teams in the league. But Kirk Cousins is just letting them down all the time.
Shame in losing to this Chiefs team.
Well, there isn't, is there? Especially in Kansas as well.
Yeah. So you're at Arrowhead. This isn't a guy doesn't get an MVP title, trophy, gold jacket, lots of stuff. You know what I mean? He is an MVP. He doesn't get to MVP without having a good O-line in front of him. And I genuinely feel it's, like I say, great receivers, great O-line. You could put Nathan Peterman in there and he'd be okay.
Let's not go that far.
Okay, you could put.
I mean, a cold cabbage was better than Nathan Peterman.
You could put Brett Hundley there, and he'd be okay.
All right, I might. Yeah.
Yeah, Brett Hundley might be the extreme of what you could put there.
I must say, yeah, who's the worst quarterback you can think
of? DeShone Kizer.
He got a bad rap.
He was bad though.
He had revolving doors at O-line, no receivers,
he
no
had
running.
Air quote migraine problems.
I'd have a migraine problem if I had that Browns team in front of me.
If Hugh Jackson's telling you to do stuff, you get a migraine.
All right, worst quarterbacks, we could just go through the last 15 years of the Browns.
Mitch Trubisky, does he win in this team? Probably not. Jameis Winston, does he win in this team?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yes. Yeah, he would.
Mitch Trubisky would win with this
team. And randomly into my head popped Jimmy Clausen. Anyone remember him?
From the Panthers?
From the Panthers and the Bears.
Ryan Leaf.
Ryan Leaf wouldn't win
college Ryan Leaf or Chargers Ryan Leaf.
College Ryan Leaf was outstanding.
College Ryan Leaf was running. That's why he was picked second overall. NFL Ryan Leaf was a slightly different story.
Yeah, he definitely was.
Should we?
Moving
to the Lions.
Yeah, the Lions. They lost 24-31 to the Raiders, and I want to give credit at this point in the season to John Gruden, who I laughed at, and I laughed at the team, and they screwed the Antonio Brown problem. And they cut all the receivers that they then had to go and get back. Yeah. And
I mean,
do you know what?
I think they actually dealt with the Antonio Brown problem
quite
well.
Yeah.
Like
signing him in the first place was the issue.
Signing him in the first place. But if you had a chance to sign Antonio Brown for the draft picks they gave up, I think a lot of teams would have. They put up with so much. And when it got too much, they cut him and got rid of him. And it was like, that's it, he's gone. So, I give Mike Mayock and Gruden a bit of credit for that. I give them even more credit for drafting Josh Jacobs because he is a legitimately.
Is he the mid-season rookie MVP?
I think he probably is. I think it's between him and Kyler Murray. I think Kyler Murray has been excellent.
We're talking offensive or overall?
Offensive.
Yeah, offensive.
Because defenses are just Nick Bosa.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's already tied the third most rushing touchdowns by a Raiders rookie running back at the halfway point in the season.
I've got him that he's broken Marcus Allen's single-season record for a Raiders rookie.
Well, maybe he has.
740 yards.
Touchdowns with 6 I've got.
He's broken the yards.
Well,
he's doing very well.
He's doing well.
Also, this was the first time since week 4 that Derek Carr had been sacked. He was sacked once in this game, I think. First,
yeah.
They've protected him, and Derek Carr is having one of his best seasons. His best season.
They've invested a lot in that O-line. Like, before we started recording, we were joking about Richie Incognito being a bit of a twat, but he's an awesome player, and he's brought some leadership, he's brought experience into that offensive line. people who are Derek Carr doesn't get sacked and Josh Jacobs has got massive holes.
People who are twats get to have extra lives in the league if you're very good.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw on Hard Knocks the size of the man.
Yeah.
He's like a building on his own.
And they've got Trent Brown at a right tackle, who is also the size of a house.
Yeah. So it's got to help Derek Carr. Carr had two or more passing touchdowns in three straight games for the first time since when?
2015.
2016, the middle of 2016. That is a long time. That's 3 years since he's done that. And Derek Carr's having his best season.
And again, you look at that receiving corps, it's not anything to write home about. Jalen McCarr was top receiver, 56-yard. Hunter Renfrow, Darren Waller has been a revelation since he came in at tight end. Tyra Williams, Marcel Aitman.
Who?
Yeah. He had one catch for 34 yards. But it's not a quality receiving corps. So if they got a decent receiver in there, that offense could be absolutely amazing.
Yeah, Darren Waller's been outstanding, to be fair.
He has, yeah. It's been brilliant.
And it was good to see Jalen Richard really getting some numbers as well, because he's been a little bit forgotten behind Josh Jacobs. Richard did a lot of work last year receiving out of the backfield. Jacobs is the all-round player like Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
So they've hit on Josh Jacobs with one of their first-round picks. They had three, if you remember. Yep. The safety, whose name escapes me, he got injured, didn't he?
He is injured, yeah. And former Alabama
Joseph?
Safety.
Carl Joseph? Yeah, we'll have to look it up. Like that, yeah. I can't remember. Cleland Ferrell
has not been very good.
Has he got one sack week one? I think. He's being extremely. Are you smiling
very
because I said,
average.
Has he got one sack?
Yes, he is.
He is. He's a guy. That's exactly why you're grinning.
He's been very average.
I think he's been below average. He's been one of their worst pass rushing options. Now, I don't know whether it's.
They still have rookie blues, but they still haven't got, as a team, they still don't have many sacks.
No, they do not.
They're not. That's probably the one area where they need to improve is the defense, both from pass rushing, and then that will help the cornerbacks. On the flip side, so we talked about the Raiders running game. Josh Jacobs is doing very well. The Lions are really suffering now with Kerryon Johnson injured. Like JD McKissick, 4 carries for 32 yards. Ty Johnson, 9 carries for 29 yards. And Paul Perkins, remember him? Three carries for 16 yards.
Giants Hall of Fame.
Jonathan Abram, by the way.
Abram, that's it. Thank you. Which is leaving Matt Stafford to have to do pretty much everything. And he's had a good season so far. He threw for 406 yards, three touchdowns, and an interception in this game. And again, he's got a very average to very much improving receiving calls. Kenny Golladay is coming on nicely. Marvin Jones has come out of nowhere to be apparently awesome. And TJ Hawkinson has been developing every other game. I mean, he's not a reliable fantasy option.
No, he's not.
I think this Lions team next year, if they continue this trend, are still going to be awesome. I think they could make the NFC North really, really, really competitive.
Yeah, I mean, look, we were saying beforehand, Stafford, you don't want to waste Stafford. He's 31. I think he plays till he's 40 if he wants to. He's got 10 touchdowns in 3 games. Like, he's doing his part. They just the injuries to the running backs is probably going to derail the season, and the defense is not quite as good as it should be.
No.
They're allowing running backs to rack up fantasy points at an average of 23 a week.
Strange considering that Matt Patricia is a defensive rocket scientist.
Which makes you think maybe they don't quite have the pieces that he requires. But still, they are competitive every week. They're just not putting the games away. They should have won this game.
They remind me a lot of the 49ers last year. When they were competitive, they were losing games by like 3, 4, 5 points. They were right in there and they end up losing. I think, you know, like you say, they've lost by, 6 points this week. But there's lots of other games that they probably could easily be. You could easily reverse that and be 5 or 6-3 based on just a few players going in a different direction.
So,
I know what's next on your list. We've got to talk about the Bears being dreadful and pooing the bed again, haven't we?
Yeah.
So the Bears.
Or should we phrase it as a resurgent Eagles?
No. The Bears were terrible. They had 9 total yards of offense in the first half. It's their 4th defeat on the bounce. Mitch Trubisky looks as much of an NFL quarterback as I do. Matt Nagy is playing scared when last year he was absolutely on it and they scripted plays and they knew what they were doing. And now
having built himself all this confidence and having won himself into a safe seat by being able to use Trubisky, he's now playing scared and they're not doing the things. This is going nowhere. This is really bad. The Eagles should have been streets ahead. I mean, what was it, 14-22? Well, yeah, they were 22-3 up, I think. And then they let the Bears score on a couple of plays. But in terms of passing yardage in the first half, didn't Trubisky have 2 yards?
Yeah.
2 passing yards at the half.
He only ended up with 125, but for the whole game.
It was their worst performance as a passing unit for 40-plus years. I mean, honestly, this is... They will go back to Chase Daniel, but not yet. They will evaluate, and then the last couple of games, they'll play Chase Daniel to see if they're going to keep him for next season
They should be doing almost what the Bengals are doing with Andy Dalton. They should get Chase Daniel in there now. It's a different scenario. Mitch Trubisky, I don't know if he's fit. I mean, he came back from, what, did he break his collarbone?
Yeah,
he had an issue with his collarbone or shoulder.
Straight in from being on a sling.
Yeah, I don't know who he's fully fit. He should do almost kind of what the Panthers have done to Cam Newton, and they just sidelined him for the rest of the season. Let Chase Daniel take over, because he's better than what he is showing this season. Or let him run some. He's an athletic quarterback, but he never gets the opportunity to run. You know, we see it with kind of what the Texans are doing with Deshaun Watson. Let Mitch Trubisky have a few runs. Even Daniel Jones was being allowed to run last night.
I think it's maybe just the wheels are falling off from Chicago kind of all around. So
it does feel like, because the defence isn't as good as it was last year.
20-plus points in 3 of its last 4 games.
Yeah, which just isn't good enough. I mean, they got to Carson Wentz a few times on Sunday, but
I think
still.
You look at it in terms of like what we were saying earlier with Kansas. So Kansas have got this amazing receiving core and this great O-line. The Bears have a decent O-line. The Bears have Anthony Miller, Robinson.
Yeah.
They have wideouts that would make other teams.
Super Bowl winning tight end Trey Burton is there.
Yeah. Zach Ertz came back.
Zach Ertz did come back for the Eagles this year.
I just wanted to mention something positive, because we're just slagging off the Bears every week.
Well, it's because they stink.
They've probably had the biggest step backwards from last year, out of all the teams.
But let me drag you back to Trubisky for a moment, because I know we love to be there. Okay, he's completing 63% of his passes, which is below league or around league average. Okay, but he's only averaging 5.6 yards a play, which is nearly 2 yards a play down on last season, and a full yard and a bit down on the debut season. He's regressing in terms of how far he can actually throw the ball.
But for me, this may be the coaching, because in the first half, they had 6 punts and 9 total yards.
Well, I have no doubt that Matt Nagy is struggling, but I think he's run out of ideas.
Who's the defensive coordinator?
I don't know, there is one, but Matt Nagy is the play caller.
Matt Nagy is the play caller. And he shoulders some responsibility, but I think that the team have saddled him with a guy that they traded up for, they've pinned all their hopes on. He isn't the guy, and they don't want to admit it. And they need to. They looked so much better with Chase Daniel in the centre.
They got to the playoffs last year with Mitch Trubisky, and they weren't far off from beating, was it the Eagles?
They were a missed kick away
Cody
from
Parker.
Double doink.
Yeah.
If they'd have won that game, I think they'd have been the championship game.
Probably.
Because who wants to play then?
Yeah, okay, Mitch Trubisky's taken a step back, but then so is the defence, and so is the receiving core. The O-line is as good. The running game is
Jordan
as good.
Howard go was a massive.
I think David Montgomery would be a good player, but you know, you could have kept Jordan Howard. He wasn't getting paid that much. So the whole team has taken a huge step back. I think Matt Nagy is probably safe, but next year he's going to be on a last leg if this isn't turned around.
I'm not concerned about Matt Nagy's job. I'm concerned about Mitch Trubisky's job. I'm not sure he's the starting quarterback for the Bears next year.
No, I don't think he will be. I think there's a good few quarterbacks that are going to come onto the market,
I said it weeks and weeks ago, and then I said it again when the trade deadline came up. Either the Bucks or the Bears should have traded for Andy Dalton.
Well, I was about to say
the Broncos.
I was about to say the Bears. From news today, would the Bears be getting a very fancy dressed quarterback next year?
Well, I mean, we come on to that, but It could be. The Eagles, DeSean Jackson, is he going to IR?
He's on IR for the rest
he's
of the
season. He's now gone.
Yeah. Core muscle.
See, when I started writing this hours and hours ago.
Right?
Yeah.
Well,
apparently he's torn the muscle completely off the bone in this game. It wasn't.
He's had abdominal surgery today.
Did he have three receptions in the game? And on the third one, he just ruined himself. So yeah. That's the end of that.
I drafted him that week.
And they have been waiting for him to come back. So I don't know what excuse they're going to use now. At least they got Zach Ertz playing because he finally turned up with some consistency. 9 receptions, 103 yards and a touchdown off just 11 targets. I mean, that's good output.
He's so good, isn't he?
What's happened to Alshon Jeffrey?
Have they forgot he's there?
I don't know. Have we have not mentioned him once this season. He had 36 yards in this game.
I love him. As a receiver, he was my best receiver when I won the fantasy league, because I've always got this sort of love for Alshon Jeffrey. But
do you know John won the fantasy league once? He never mentions it.
When was that?
Never mentions it.
Is that last
He's
year?
He's jealous because you'd never won it.
I've also never won it.
I've won it
against but me.
Yeah, yeah. it's.
Anyway,
I don't know if it's he had a better connection with
Nick Foles,
but in the year they won the Super Bowl, he had a good connection with Wentz in the lead-up to it. It just seems since then
if you remember, actually, he played better once Foles came into the fold.
Yeah.
So did Zach Ertz, though.
Because Jeffrey was one of the people that seemed to be implying that Carson Wentz maybe was doing things his own way and not quite having the respect of the team. And you do sometimes wonder whether that's still the case. There still seems to be a lack of harmony in this team.
It's certainly not the team that it was 2 years ago, or even last year. Because of the NFC being so strong, I don't think they're going to get into playoffs. I think Dallas will win the NFC East, so it's going to be a real tough job for them to get a wild card.
They have gone to the playoffs being 4-4 before.
Yeah,
I believe they have,
and they've still got a good record. They're 5-4, which is decent. There's too many other teams in the NFC West who are in the NFC West actually, but in the NFC in general that are better than them.
Here's one for the memory banks amongst us. Jordan Howard's 82 yards this weekend meant that the Eagles still have not had a 100-yard rusher since week 4 of 2017.
37 games straight.
Go on, who was it?
Matt Forte.
Swoles. No. No.
Who else?
LeGarrette
there?
Blount. Just saying,
it's probably
that
the last
is a long
time.
He
ran 100 yards, isn't
it? To be fair,
missed a half marathon over it.
If there's any running back question for any team, LeGarrette Blount's probably a safe answer. Yeah,
probably.
The San Francisco 49ers entered week 9 as one of two undefeated teams, and they conquered the Cardinals to ensure they sit atop the undefeated tree for at least another week following their 28-25 victory on Thursday Night Football.
Jim, over to you.
We won
again.
Yay!
A win's a win.
It was a close one, though.
It was, but I don't think that's a surprise. I think Arizona have been getting better each and every week. So
yeah, I thought the 49ers defense would smother what the Cardinals were able to do, but I did not reckon on the instant impact of Kenyon Drake.
He was pretty good, wasn't he?
Well,
you've got the option of being good.
Well, yeah, because you're playing for a team that wants to win.
Yeah.
I thought you can't have had a better impact on debut as a running back than Kenyon Drake did. And between him and Kyler, who performed okay.
How many yards did he get?
Kyle Murray or...
Kenyon Drake.
He got 110 yards on the ground.
I mean, to be fair,
and 52 yards passing.
Based on last week, if he'd have got 111 yards, he probably could have had a bigger impact.
He scored. back to this then, are we? He scored more touchdowns in that game than he has for the Dolphins all year because he didn't get a single touchdown for them.
Yeah, but the Dolphins don't score touchdowns.
Well, they also didn't want to play him because they wanted to trade him and not have him injured. Yeah. So, I mean, look, this is the right move from the Cardinals to acquire a running back who actually is fit and able to play. David Johnson hasn't been fit for weeks.
Years.
And unfortunately, that career might be coming to a close, especially with the Cardinals, because Kenyon Drake is going to be there now.
I think that's a really good shout. I think especially as he's got quite an expensive contract, he's not been on the field enough. He could be a cut casualty. casualty at the end of this year.
And it's a shame because he is a brilliant player when he's fit, but it's two games a season at most.
But speaking of impressive debuts, I know it wasn't his debut, but it was his second game. Emmanuel Sanders is...
When you traded for him, I said this is going to be a brilliant move because he is so experienced and he elevates the other receivers in the core. Mm-hmm. So now they have to be covered because they're running routes properly and they're looking up to a guy who is one of the top 10 receivers in the league every year.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't excited about it, but he has played brilliantly. He's two touchdowns now for the 49ers, seven receptions on Thursday, 112 yards. And another touchdown. And what was probably Jimmy Garoppolo's best game of the season, if not his best game in a 49ers uniform, he went 28 for 37, 317 yards and four touchdowns. It's the first 49ers quarterback to have four touchdowns since Jeff Garcia in 2000.
Oh, jeez. Oh, that's such a long time ago. Yeah. I mean, yeah, look.
Oh, sorry, four touchdowns and 300 yards passing.
This is, for me, easily Jimmy Garoppolo's best game as a Niner. It might be his best game full stop.
Yeah, I mean, there's not many others. There's only like two or three for the Patriots.
Two and a half.
Yeah.
The interesting thing for me, I saw a stat that when he joined the 49ers, they were 0-8.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. We were. We won five games that year behind him, basically.
Of course.
Completely changed it. And then, obviously, last year, getting injured, we didn't take it so much a step back, but it was a step back, but... He's been brilliant this year, to be fair.
Yeah, if he'd have played last year, he might have been worth one or two more wins.
Then on, I mean, yes, he's done very well. But I'm going to put them in the same category as the Kansas City Chiefs, where, you know, if you put Alex Smith in there or Matt Moore, potentially they could be doing well in that offense as well. Because, he was thrown to wide open receivers a lot of the time, and that's play scheme, and that's Kyle Shanahan.
Well, they beat Harden Mullins last year. Did quite well.
Yeah, they were decent.
With less.
Yeah.
I like that it's a varied offense. So they grind teams down.
As well, yeah. I think now with Sanders, the passing game, there's another dimension to it. It's not just George Kittle.
Well, they have a league high. They've run at least 31 times in every game this season.
It's how you win games, is being able to run the ball. There's another very good team who we're going to come and talk about next who are running the ball brilliantly.
Yep.
And I think the 49ers are in that class as well. They're consistently running the ball very well. And it's not just through one player. It's not just a Saquon Barkley or Zeke Elliott. Breeder, Coleman, Mostert, what's the other? Jeff Wilson.
It helps have a stable of running backs.
Yeah, I think so. Still, remember that 49ers are playing without their first two starting tackles.
Who will both be back.
I think they'll both be back next week, yeah.
And I can only see this team continuing to get better. I still don't think they're going 16-0 for real.
No, of course not.
I think this is 13-3 or 14-2.
They have some very weak...
Just like the Patriots, they've got tough games coming up.
I think week 12, we've got the Saints or the Packers, and week 14, we've got one or the other. And we've got to play Saints, Packers, and Ravens as well.
You've got to play the Seahawks again?
We've got to play Seahawks twice.
You've got to play Seahawks twice. See, I don't think you win both those games. Because Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll are too good for that, I think. I could not believe this.
Do you remember when the Giants won games?
No.
Yeah, but my memory's quite good.
I couldn't believe this stat that you'd lost the previous eight games to the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Back to week 17 of 2014.
Yes.
The Cardinals didn't become a bad team.
Think how bad they were last year.
Yeah, we were pretty bad as well.
Yeah, but the Cardinals, they were awful.
I mean, the Cardinals had number one pick in the draft, and we had number two pick in the draft for a very good yeah. reason.
Also, Andy Isabella turned up for the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Pacey wide receiver, 88-yard receiving touchdown. Was the longest touchdown from scrimmage by a Cardinals player since week 11 of 2013.
You have some pretty poor.
It's a pound, if you can tell me who it is. A whole pound. If you can tell me who it is, I'll be effing amazed.
Is it a wide receiver?
It's a wide receiver. He's not white. There you go. It narrows it down for you.
That narrows it down to a few thousand.
Yeah.
Clue?
Another clue.
Yeah.
Think pink. And me. Pink and me.
Fuchsia Griffin.
Pinky Griffin.
No, it was Michael Floyd. I couldn't give you anything else. I didn't really know what to go with.
Why think pink?
Pink Floyd.
That's a terrible.
I was well outside the box.
That was very outside the box.
I was trying to think what crime he got done for that meant his career ended.
Driving.
Was it drink driving?
Drink driving, yeah. I think it was. Although, do you remember that block he had that one time?
It was amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant.
Slight downer in that Quan Alexander's now out for the year. He's had a great season.
That's not a slight downer, is it? That's quite a big downer.
It's a big downer. I mean, Fred Warner was a great rookie season last year. He needs to step up. And Dre Greenlaw, who's a rookie coming in this year, I think also needs to step up as well. So that's a big loss. So we'll see how the defense gets on against the Seahawks on Monday.
Well, should we move on to the other team that, importantly, was undefeated? The Patriots.
I forgot the shirt of hurt.
We did forget the shirt of hurt.
Next week, you're having the shirt of hurt.
So the Ravens.
You're not going to enjoy the shirt of hurt.
Patriots.
Is it made of needles?
20, Ravens 37. And Lamar was just brilliant, wasn't he?
Unplayable. Unplayable. Look, I said I thought this was one of the slip-up games, and it was. I'm not remotely bothered by the fact that we lost. I don't think it's the end of the world. In fact, we lost and now we go into a bye, and you kind of get the feeling Belichick's going to bully the players into being better when they come out the other side of said bye. Look, Lamar Jackson was incredible. He danced into the end zone for one of his touchdowns. Yeah. Now, to dance in against this Patriots defense, you've got to be doing something special, right?
He is pretty decent, to be fair.
He only had to get half a yard on any of our linemen and he was gone. To get 61, 62 yards or something.
61.
It felt like he'd run for 200 yards. It was incredible. And he can truly throw the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, he only had 163 yards.
Yeah, but some of the passes are so crisp. He picks and chooses.
His percentage was pretty high, though. So yeah.
But the biggest issue is you don't know whether it's going to be him or Mark Ingram.
Or Gus Edwards off with the ball. As well. Gus Edwards had a good game.
He got a touchdown, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Gus the bus. Don't forget him. Look, if I was the Ravens, I'd be delighted. If I was the Patriots, I'd be thinking, right, when we see him again, we can't play like that. We know a better idea of what we've got to do.
I've been watching a lot of the America's Game, the story of the Super Bowl winning season. So I was telling you guys earlier.
Baseball. Oh, no, right, yeah. I see.
At every one of them, the Patriots get battered by someone, and it spurs them on to, when they face them again, they destroy them.
Yeah, it's a bit like every time they win a Super Bowl, they do it by the narrowest of margins. It's ridiculous.
I've watched a lot of them, and one of them was just, we didn't win by a field goal, this is great! But they will have a plan, and, you know.
It's pretty rare that the Patriots get beaten by the same team twice in a season. So but if they do meet them in the playoffs, my money will still be on the Patriots to win that.
This chick guy can.
He's pretty decent, isn't he?
He can plan a defense quite well, I've heard.
Yeah, I've heard he's quite good.
I think he will take it as a personal attack that they didn't play better. They got run into the ground in the end, 37-20.
Yeah.
Brady's interception was awful.
It was bad.
And he's done that a couple of times this season. I think the arm clearly isn't there. The brain is now functioning far better than the physical talent. And that's perfectly fine when the team is close or ahead.
But
you could still be in the foot race.
Sense from that interception, he was forcing it. It's the same as every other quarterback's going to do.
Absolutely,
not kid. You know
Don't get me wrong. I'm not.
And he's going up against a great defense as well.
Yeah, a very good defense at least. I mean, look, the whole team is taking its inspiration from Lamar.
Yeah, defensively as well. The fumble for Edelman.
It was his first lost fumble for like 4 years.
Yeah.
Because whenever he fumbles, he always ends up with the ball.
Yeah, it's usually about 50-50.
What about Edelman here? You not Lamar.
I just wanted to thumb one in.
He'd been looking at me for the last 30 seconds. Like,
thinking about how you can get that. Yeah, he's going to say it sooner or later.
Yeah, it was a turning point. That
two
was.
Receivers of the Patriots had 10 receptions each.
Was one of them Sanu?
Edelman and Sanu. 89 yards, 81 yards. Sanu looks really good.
Man, they have worked Sanu in quickly for that, haven't they?
But then after that, it's like, you know, James White, 2 receptions. Ben Watson, 4. Do they need to get there's no tight end being thrown to apart from Ben Watson.
Yeah. Old man Watson.
Old man Watson.
There's not going to be much yards after the catch, is
even it? Dorsett wasn't that great. He only had 2 receptions for 13 yards, and he's probably been the number one 1.5 go-to guy when Edelman's not free. Is there still a worry that Brady doesn't have enough people to throw? So not even throwing it to anyone out of the backfield now.
I'll tell you what's going to happen is we're going to get to one of the big games, either the AFC Championship game or the Super Bowl, and we're going to be playing pretty poorly, and then Mohamed Sanu is going to get a flea flicker from Tom Brady, and Sanu's going to throw a 40-yard touchdown winner
to Rex Burkhead.
To Rex Burkhead, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think that's why they brought Sanu in. I think the offense is very slowly improving. Sonny Michel's running game does not fill me with confidence. He's not getting enough yards.
No.
Rex Burkhead isn't fit in long enough bursts between, like, you can't do 4 or 5 games in a row. I think he might be our best all-round running back.
You've got N'Keal Harry coming back.
Yes, he's been activated off IR. I'm not sure how much of an impact. Rookie wide receivers at the Patriots very rarely make an impact. I think this is why we signed Sanu. Sanu is key. I think by the end of next week's game, you'll see what they want to do with him.
But Harry's like as big as a tight end. And remember, yeah. Gronkowski used to play a lot in the slot, yep. Not just on the end of the line. I reckon he could be used like that.
Like Chris Hogan. Chris Hogan looked serviceable at New England, nowhere else.
You're going to slate him again. He's on IR. Stop talking about his terrible stats.
He's gigantic, and they like a gigantic receiver.
But don't forget, so is Sanu, and that is why they have signed him, because they are still looking for that person to fill the Gronk gap.
Mm. Well, should we move on to the battle of the bottom, where a combined win.
We have to talk about this game.
And 13 defeats. It was Jets and Dolphins. And once again, the toilet bowl.
one of several this year.
Yeah, Fitzmagic gets the job done. And I don't know whether to be happy or sad.
You'd be happy, and the very first thing I thought was, I think next week's starter will be Josh Rosen, because they've got their one win, they're not going 0-16, and now they can go full-out tanking, because currently the Jets have a better draft pick than the Dolphins, so they've tanked and fudged it up.
The Dolphins are currently number four.
Number four!
Hey, the Jets actually scored more yards than their opponent for the first time this season.
Did they?
There was a reason to be cheerful from losing to the worst team in the league.
Well, I don't know about the worst team in the league, but they were trying to be, attempting to be the worst team in the league. I said 2 or 3 weeks ago, Fitzmagic makes this team viable in games, because for all the awful passes and the bad interceptions, there are 2 or 3 games a season where he is brilliant. And he was brilliant in this game. And Devontae Parker is having a very good season.
Devontae Parker, he had some amazing catches. Yeah. A one-handed catch for a touchdown, was there?
I was amazed to see.
Awesome.
He's tied for his most touchdowns in a season with 4.
Yeah, there's been 4 in the last 4 games as well.
Yeah, but I would have thought he'd got way more than that.
He never gets more than 4? 8 games in a season, 8 games in a season, because he's always out.
Yeah, true.
Well, probably more than that, but he does always get injured. And, of course, last year he fell out with
Gase
and didn't play.
No.
So we know I'm a Parker, Devontae Parker truther.
As am I. I think he's a very, very good player.
Is that a thing?
It is now.
I've given up being a John Ross truther. I'm moving on to Devontae Parker.
I'm not sure anyone. Most people don't remember who John Ross is. Look.
He was the lead singer of the Supremes.
John Ross and the Three Supremes.
That's right.
Wow, that's a Halloween outfit. I'd like them to wear.
So, on the Jets.
Just before that, Preston Williams, who was an undrafted rookie, looked decent as well.
He's looked good all season. Just before we move on to the Jets, I want to read out the top tacklers in the game for Miami Dolphins. And if you've heard of any of these, I'll be very impressed.
Getting your tackles out for the lads. Yeah.
So, top tackler, Nick Needham.
Hey, yeah.
Big fan.
Yep. Jamel Wiltz.
Oh, can't get enough Jamel Wiltz.
Raekwon McMillan
has been there for a while. He's intercepted me.
Jerome Baker.
He's intercepted me and Madden.
And then Christian Wilkins, who was their first round pick last year. Like, that's a real who's who of a defense. Who's who of literally who's who.
People who've intercepted Paul at Madden. So anyone you can name. Yeah, would you be surprised if they suddenly decided, right, that's it, we will go for Rosen? I was dead serious when I posed this question, because if I was the Dolphins, I'd be thinking, right, we are number 4 and we were attempting to be number 1. So how do we go about now being number 1?
Yeah, but who are 2 and 3?
Well, the Bengals have been number 2 all season.
So if
Bengals are 1, the Jets are 2.
The Jets are 2 and the Redskins
are 3. I like
that,
I'm sorry.
So the Jets are 2 and the Redskins are 3. Neither of them are probably going to pick a quarterback.
Well,
unless the Redskins do what Arizona
did. I believe somewhere down your running order it does say
Yeah, it does in fact say, is Dwayne Haskins going to be the new Josh Rosen?
What, Dwayne checked down Haskins?
The management in Washington are so behind Dwayne Haskins that I just can't see either of those two teams picking a quarterback, which means the Dolphins get second pick of all the quarterbacks.
Well, yeah. So Adam Gase, we said last week, Gase is done.
Dead in the water.
Absolutely. Well, no.
Hear me out.
Go on, I'll hear you out.
Let's hear him out.
Hang on, because let's have a vote. Would Gary hear him out? Gary, I can't. I'm channeling Gary. He says, Gary, screw you.
The front office
he says Aaron Jones is rubbish.
Blake Bortles.
Kirk Cousins. Go on, we'll hear you out. Go on.
The front office haven't helped the team this week. So Jamal Adams is a loyal player. He's one of the best players, and they've pissed him off.
Yeah, he's going in the offseason.
Yeah, he'll be gone. I mean, you cannot promise a player he's not on the block and then offer him out to teams.
They didn't offer him out to teams. They listened to some phone calls from another team about whether they'd be interested in trading for him. Like, you know, they've got to listen to...
The Cowboys came in
and offered two first-round picks. They'd be like, well, yeah.
Okay, but then you've got to keep the player informed. And they told him, you are definitely not on the block.
But it's me, on the block and listening to offers.
So you think it's unfair that he's annoyed?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Yeah, they'd be like cheating on your girlfriend, thinking about cheating on your girlfriend. Or, here's a picture of me around another woman's house in her bedroom. I didn't do anything, though.
That's what they did. They didn't put him on the training block. They got a couple of calls and they listened to him and they said no.
But they publicised the living shit out of it.
Oh, I don't know. They did.
Somebody did.
Yeah.
And that's always a problem.
Anyway, I mean,
can Darnold be resurrected?
Yes, if Gase goes.
Because he looks bad.
He was improved immensely from where he was rookie up until the end of the league last year under Jeremy Bates. As a new coaching team's come in and Jeremy Bates was let go and they've not looked after Darnold. Darnold's only 22.
Which...
he's really young.
Remind me, which college did he come from?
He came from USC.
USC. I always want to see LSU. USC. Last season at USC, what was his biggest problem?
Fumbles.
And turnovers in general.
Yeah, but there's a big issue with fumbles.
And what
he
is
it? He doesn't fumble the ball now,
but he turns it over a lot.
Yeah,
and it's getting worse, not better. So they have to address this because you do not want to see
around him. Is still that awful.
Offensive line is terrible. It's one of the worst in the league.
Peyton Manning is a surefire first ballot Hall of Famer. His first two seasons, he was dog shite on interceptions.
Yeah, yeah. All right, but here's the opposing view to that. Right, so when Andrew Luck came in and was not on a good team, he didn't look this bad. And Darnold was being compared to Andrew Luck. It was
not by me. Anyone here comparing him to Andrew Luck?
No.
The thing is,
when the draft was happening, people were saying he's as talented as Andrew Luck.
But Andrew Luck came in a Colts team that didn't have
The Colts team was also it was a better run team. The front office.
It was better run.
The Jets have got a new general manager who didn't pick Adam Gase. It was the other way around. Adam Gase basically picked the general manager, and Joe Douglas has to get rid of Adam Gase because he is terrible.
He is the problem.
Yeah. Bad at the Dolphins, and he's bad at the Jets.
8 consecutive games without a 100-yard game from Le'Veon Bell, which is the first and only time that's happened in his career.
Absolute rubbish, isn't it?
Yeah,
it is.
He's in my fantasy team. That offensive line is almost offensive.
So, speaking of almost offensive, the Redskins managed a whopping 9 points this week in a 24-9 defeat by the Bills.
They've gone 13 consecutive quarters without a touchdown.
Wow.
Oh, God.
Is that the stat of the week?
It is, yeah.
Stat of the week. Devin Singletary was very impressive. Former future Hall of Famer Frank Gore, less impressive.
No.
Stuffed 4 times in a row, I think. Or
4 times in a row from a yard.
Yeah.
But you know, he's done his job over the last 15
years. He's still getting in the Hall of Fame.
He's getting in the Hall of Fame.
But it was this the passing of the torch to Devin Singletary?
Yeah, possibly.
I think so. And rightly so, because I think he looked excellent. Josh Allen has, this time last year, he was averaging 50 yards a game more, but also he had thrown 5 more interceptions at this time in the season.
He also didn't have a running game last year.
No. So, but while
he was their running game last year.
Reined in the massive long passes that were being picked off for more completions? Is this a good thing for him to have done? Right, I don't need 350 yards a week if it means I've got to throw 2 interceptions. I need 250 yards a week and no turnovers.
Being reined in, I think it's better for him.
I mean, that's what good coaching does.
This is such an unremarkably good team.
I still think they're I mean, they must be the worst 6-2 6-2
Really?
Must be the worst 6-2
I think their defense is good.
Yeah,
defense is good, but
I mean, they are helped out by the Jets and the Dolphins.
The teams they're playing against have a record of 7-31
Yes, only
yeah. of which the Titans are 4 of those 7.
I love that you looked that up.
The other team is the Giants, who they beat, have 2, and the Jets have 1.
Wow.
The rest of what they're playing is awful.
Well, the rest of the team they've beaten, at least.
And you can only play what's in front of you, I know. But, like, we'll come on to our power rankings. I really struggle with the Bills.
The difference is what they played in front of them previously, they'd lose to.
Yeah.
Now they're winning games. They're 6-2. They're only, what, a game or two now behind the Patriots?
Two, I think.
Two
games behind the Patriots. Because I'm fairly sure if the Patriots had won,
I don't think they're going to catch the Patriots. But the AFC isn't a strong conference. They've got a really good shout at getting quite easily
sliding into a wild card, though, aren't they?
Easily.
Yeah, and it's a team good enough to make progress this time when they get into the wild card.
Yeah.
What's your opinion on Sean McDermott?
Sean McDermott has taken a long time for me to get over the benching of Tyrod for Nate Peterman, which I thought was an awful attempt at sabotaging that season. You have to have respect for the fact that he's turned this team into a winner.
Yeah.
It got them Ed Oliver.
Yes, it did. Look, it took me a long time to get over that. I thought it was a disastrous decision that played out in the way we thought it would. But you cannot do anything but respect the fact that this team wins.
I think it played out worse than we all thought. No one's going, chill what? Nate Peterman, I think he's going to concede 5 interceptions.
As long as it's not 6, that'll be fine.
I'm sure McDermott wasn't on the sidelines going, that's Peterman's 5th interception.
Yeah, McDermott, you genius.
I can hear the headlines now.
That'll show them.
No, I think McDermott's done well to turn it around, but I'm still a bit dubious about the Bills.
I mean, the question that I posed a minute ago before, is Haskins the Rosen of this year? Is he going to be one and done as a starter or even as a player?
His box score wasn't terrible.
No.
On Sunday, 15 completions from 22, 144 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions.
Yep.
He's a rookie. This was his first start, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And again, you look at the people he's throwing to, there's no one there that would get onto the Patriots, even with their slightly dodgy receiving corps, I don't think.
I don't know. An elderly injured tight end be right up their street.
Yeah, but there's no tight end making any receptions.
Jordan Reed's not playing. Jordan Reed hasn't come off IR with concussion all season. His career is done.
Vernon Davis? Yeah.
I think the only player on the Redskins that would get onto the Patriots is probably Adrian Peterson.
Or Terry McLaurin.
108 yards again.
Yeah.
Peterson.
Yeah.
I mean, man, he is churning them up.
He had 101 in the first half.
Yes, absolutely. It was his first 100-yard by halftime since 2013.
Yeah.
That's incredible. The longevity of this man is amazing.
The Redskins are clearly...
Can we start calling him future Hall of Famer Adrian Peterson?
I think that's a given.
He'll be a first.
I think even Duncan will be all right with that. The Redskins, clearly, they're going into not a full rebuild, but there's going to be a reboot with the new coach who's going to come in.
It must be hard for Haskins as well, knowing that there's not a head coach to guide his career effectively.
I think, to your point earlier about whether he'll be the next Josh Rosen, there's so much support for him within the upper management of the Redskins that they'll keep him and not draft a quarterback this next year.
But there is also a lot of talk that he hasn't managed to learn the playbook.
No, true, but... You know.
A lot of talk.
What is the playbook?
Well, do you remember... Well, there must be...
Even under Case Keenum, was it Case Keenum? The playbook looked a bit dubious.
Yeah, absolutely. And the support around them doesn't help. But do you remember when Jamarcus Russell, remember him? When he was playing, and the Raiders were dubious about whether or not he was studying the playbook. So they gave him the playbook on DVD for a week and then asked him questions about it and whether he'd watched it. And he said, yes, I've watched it and this, that and the other. What they'd actually done is given him a blank DVD. And he hadn't watched it. He'd never even opened the case. And that was why. That was one of the reasons why they decided to move on. And would you be surprised if it turned out Haskins was in a similar boat? Because some of these players think, I've been brilliant at college. I will just pick it up on the fly.
What happens, though, if the Redskins bring in Urban Meyer as coach, who was Haskins' coach at Ohio State?
They lose because he probably won't be very good in the NFL.
Who knows? I mean, like they could. We've seen other teams bring in coaches who have been signed off by their quarterback.
Yeah.
It wouldn't Cliff be Kingsbury?
Cliff Kingsbury. Matt Nagy was signed off by Mitch Trubisky. Sean McVay was signed off by Jared Goff. It's worked in some cases. It's not worked in other cases. But, you know, if they turn around to him and said, you know, is there any coaches you want to work with?
It's got to be worth a try because they've got nothing else going for them. So, in London, we went on Sunday. Woo! I say we. There was Gary, myself and John because you two were too lazy. We saw the Texans trample the Jags 26-3, which is probably a better scoreline than Jacksonville deserved on the day.
1 second. That's Minshew Mania, just leave it.
Oh, man.
You're so happy about that.
John,
so happy.
John is one of the calmer members of our podcasting team, I would say. A placid, gentle human being who everywhere we looked saw stick-on moustaches and headbands and was just furious. He was so angry.
I like the fans that changed their number 5 Borsos jersey and added a little white line to make it a number 15 Minshew jersey.
Yeah, that's fair, because you don't want to be Blake Bortles.
We were sat behind a couple of Minshew jerseys.
We were. We were also sat next to some more rude Germans who thought it was okay to smoke in a stadium.
Bitte aufzurauchen.
Bless you.
Stop smoking, please.
Ja, mit Zahnpasta. Yes, with toothpaste.
Thank you very much. I've got nothing. I cannot join in. We very politely requested that they stop smoking and they very impolitely declined and kept smoking.
Chill out.
Chill out.
Arnold Schwarzenegger was there.
And then they were a good movie.
It was German with a slur.
Yeah, they were
because
very
they
drunk.
Were smashed.
But one of them was sporting a bum bag, which was
nice.
Excellent.
Anyone who follows our Twitter feed will know I managed to catch a photo of them sleeping. And then I was
wasn't that boring a match
before. Well, no,
it was a good match.
It was a good match.
Tagging in NFL UK was a tremendous thing that you did.
But I was before someone ratted them on them for smoking, and they of course blamed us. But before then, I was in a load of selfies with the sleeping man, with the German guy.
I suspect they very quickly deleted them.
And I imagine, now. Yeah, I'm not going to be on any. I'm not going to be in many Munich mantel places.
The key thing out of this game is that Nick Foles has been named the starter.
Thank
when the Jags come God. Back off the bye. Now, Doug Marrone came out after the game and said, "I will take a week to think about this.
Didn't take a week.
No, he did not. He took
the flight home.
2 days. Yeah, basically. Look, Gardner Minshew. What did he throw? One interception or two?
Two interceptions.
Two interceptions. So what is he throwing? 13 touchdowns and 4 interceptions?
I think he's been all
right.
I think
he's outplayed a lot of first-round draft picks.
He's outplayed Baker Mayfield this year. And Baker Mayfield...
Paul's outplayed Baker Mayfield this year.
Mayfield's receiving corps is a hell of a lot better than the Jaguars.
Yeah. Baker Mayfield's had some amazing stats this year. So Baker Mayfield has the lowest passer rating when not under pressure. He's the only quarterback in the league with more interceptions than touchdowns when not pressured.
Brilliant.
Well done him. And more on him later. But yeah, Gardner Minshew I don't think has been terrible, but... He was terrible this week.
I think you've paid Nick Foles that much money. You've got to give him a decent run. And are the Jaguars still in contention playoffs? I think because their AFC is not brilliant, yes, they probably could.
But they're
get
not out
there.
Of contention.
They're certainly not out of contention like the Jets and Dolphins are.
Anybody in New York who's got New
Bengals,
York in their name.
Yeah. Well, Bills
this
are in New
just
York.
About Fournette's worst game of the season. He had 40 yards rushing. Did not do a lot. They could not get the ground game going.
Fournette he's had a good year. He's brilliant at running in a straight line.
Mm-hmm.
He can't turn. He's like DK Metcalf. He just, like, if you give him a big hole to run through, he's fine. If you ask him to make a cut, he's not fine. Like, he's not that great at running back.
But he has. We were mentioning it. He has. Looks like he has slimmed because he was.
Yeah,
looking,
I think he has lost a bit of weight.
He was looking.
He'd been impressive in almost every game up until this point, and he was very disappointing. And he was completely outplayed by the Texans running back Carlos Hyde, who properly turned up. He'd get 160
yards off 19 carries, and he should have had a touchdown if he put the ball in the right hand.
Just don't get it punched out.
Oy vey. It was dreadful. It was so.
He was. So,
he was distraught as well. He was just wandering upset. Around with his head in his hands.
He was knackered as well.
Yeah, not a surprise.
Luckily for them, Minshew just gave it back to him anyway. After that.
Turnover. Kenny Stills, we thought was impressive.
We did. We thought was good.
I was stop off. Deshaun Watson was impressive.
Deshaun Watson, you expect to be impressive. No, he's impressive every week.
He had another amazing game. So in my stat of the week, I heard this on another podcast earlier, so I can't claim it. There were 23 players who had a chance to sack him, and he escaped every single one of them. Yeah. And even the one time he did get sacked, it wasn't the first tackler that got him.
No, he was proper snake.
23
hits.
Times.
So Deshaun Watson doesn't get anywhere near enough credit for me. He's on course to have the best passer rating of all time.
I think he's starting to get that credit now. I think last week where he made that amazing play where he got kicked in the face and still managed to complete a pass for a touchdown, I think people are starting to wake up to how good he really is.
First player since 1950 with 17 passing touchdowns and 5 rushing touchdowns through the first 9 games of the season. That's impressive in itself, right?
And it's not bad.
Just think, the Browns could have had him.
He is also the third quarterback in Texans history with 20 or more career wins. Can you
Bears
name,
could have had him
name
well.
The other two?
Yeah. So,
sorry, what was
Schaub?
Matt Schaub, yes.
TJ Yates?
B.A.
20 wins.
Oh, 20 wins as a Texans quarterback.
Carr,
yeah.
It was Carr, well done. There was no pound on offer for that.
Super Bowl ring wearing David Carr.
Backup quarterback.
Darren Fells.
We like Darren Fells.
He is just a big chap who sort of lumbered into the end zone and caught the touchdown, but it's working.
One reception, six, 1 yard, one touchdown.
6 touchdowns this season, which is tied for the most in a single season for any Texans tight end. Who would have thunk it?
I really think the Texans have got a decent chance.
CJ Fedorovich, when he was there, he was all right before he got concussed out.
You think about the receiving courts they have got, like Hopkins is top 5 receiver anyway. Yeah. Kenny Stills, like you say, has impressed. Joined the team and he's looked really good. They've still got Will Fuller, who didn't really do anything on Sunday. But
didn't make the trip.
Oh, but there was a resurgence.
Didn't make the trip.
There was a resurgence of one of Paul's favourite players, though, wasn't there, at the weekend? The tight end for the Jags. Safety Valve. Was on show.
I saw him.
4 receptions for 41 yards. Where's he been, hey?
At the Browns.
Not a lot out of DJ Chark.
In Florida, did he?
Yeah, DJ Chark, and Conley both had quiet games.
Well, Conley did all right. He had the most yards. Keelan Cole had the most yards, 80, didn't he? Yes.
Yeah. Keelan Cole seemed to be just, ever present but everyone else is a bit quiet. But yeah.
It's difficult.
It's a shame.
When your quarterback can't throw it to anyone.
Yeah.
Like, coming back to, is there going to be a franchise in the UK? There's been 4 games this year. There's been a lot of chat about them not being sellouts. Well, I went to one of them and it was pretty much sold out. You guys went to 2 of them. From the pictures I've seen all across NFL UK Facebook group, it looks pretty full.
It's full. It's not.
Might not be sold out, but it's still got. Wembley's still got 80,000 fans there. You look at some of the teams in the NFL in the US. The Chargers can't get a home crowd there.
And this is 20,000 more.
The Dolphin Stadium was empty again. I know they're dog shit, but
but
there's a lot of empty stadiums.
The Chargers 20,000 more for a Jags home game than they would get at home. So I think they get 57,000 to 60,000. Yeah. And of course, this weekend, they got 84,000. And I think a lot of you made of the... The tickets being on sale, I think part of it is touts just being
bots. Gary was saying he felt the bots got too many tickets, and the touts seem to be touting very cheaply.
Yes,
I mean they've definitely been found.
I think as well, you got the feeling a lot of people probably bought a season ticket, and then they were just trying to flog it. And if they turned up anyway.
I've done that one year where you buy a season ticket and only wanted to go to one game. So I got rid of the other 2 tickets.
I think people couldn't get rid of it, they went.
Yeah. I do wonder whether 4 games over here is too many and we don't need a franchise.
I don't think it is. I mean, I could see us having more games over here, but it being, again, it could be if they introduce the 17th regular season game, that the extra game each team plays has to be done on neutral soil.
Yeah, and that's and a good idea.
It could be in Mexico, it could be in London, it could be in Germany somewhere.
Do you think we require a team over here?
Because people have got already. Their allegiances to other teams.
Oh, I don't think the allegiance matters, really. No, but because we go to the games anyway.
No, people go.
That's just it. I don't think people support the London Jaguars, for instance.
Neither do I.
I'd go and watch them.
I'd go and watch them, certainly.
But I guess, you know, you do see a hell of a lot of Jacksonville Jaguars shirts in the crowd.
There are a lot, yeah.
So I get the feeling if they were the Jaguars, I think that would only increase.
It would over time, as you'd have people, youngsters growing up with a London team.
With a London Jags team. Boo! The Texans really took control of AFC West with this win, though, because the Colts came up short against the Steelers and the Titans lost to the resurgent Panthers. So a couple of things out of these two games. Adam Vinatieri shanked it again. He's had four or five really good weeks since the iffy start of the season, and he missed a PAT and a game-winning field goal. And he didn't just miss the field goal. It, like, in football, we'd say that hit the corner flag. It was 25 yards wide.
It was bad. As bad as I've seen a kick this year.
Now, there was a lot of talk about Rigoberto Sanchez didn't get the laces facing inwards for the kick. Honestly, what difference does that make? 2 yards? I mean, he shanked it so far wide. I just want to know if it's time to hang up the boot or not. Because I've kept holding him in fantasy.
The season. I don't think you're going to be...
Well, I think you should let him go.
But every single Colts game this season has been a one-score game. And he has cost them 2 wins at least.
Are you going to bring in this better?
Well, that's the thing. There is a dearth of kickers.
That is the problem, yeah. I mean, I think I can see him retiring at the end of this year because I think this year has been particularly bad for
him.
Let him get to the end of the year.
Yeah, but I think he'll go to the end of the year.
Words on the Brissett injury? Because he went down very early in the game and was out with an injury.
MCL sprain, isn't it?
So how long is that? Is that no time out, 2 weeks out? Because I've heard he could be back.
He was still on the sidelines.
Yeah,
very
I don't
happy.
Think it's that serious.
Because I actually thought Brian Hoyer played all right, you know. It wasn't dreadful by any stretch of the imagination.
17 from 26, 168 yards, three touchdowns, and one
The
exception.
Pick was amazing. How far was that? 61 yards that they returned the pick six?
Brian Hoyer can't play a game without throwing an interception.
He can't.
Brian Hoyer is a podcast favourite. I feel it'd be good for us to have no negative words said about Brian Hoyer.
I'm a big fan of Brian Hoyer.
Super
you know?
Winning Brian Hoyer.
Super Bowl winning
ring wearing
Brian Hoyer. So Minkah Fitzpatrick picked him off and returned it 60-odd yards for the pick six. Is he the best in-season trade?
Oh, yeah, at the moment, God, yeah. Definitely. I think coming out of Alabama, they had him labelled as like a Swiss penknife type defensive back who could play cornerback, he could play nickelback, he could play safety. And the Dolphins tried to use him that way. The Steelers are using him
just
at safety.
Mentioned nickelback. Well, yeah. This is how he reminds you.
Yeah.
But look at this photograph.
Yeah. The Steelers are using him as a safety, and that is probably his best position. And he's been really good. Brilliant.
I'm going to assume they didn't do a song called What a Shower of Shite.
From some voices on this podcast, Tomlin gets a bad rep. I think this year, considering what the Steelers have...
This has been his best coaching
year. They are 4-4, having been 0-3 to start the season, with Mason Rudolph, who is awful.
Well, not even, because Mason Rudolph is awful.
He's not.
You remember one game as well.
Devlin Hodges.
He was out on his feet there, Devlin Hodges.
Devlin Hodges was better.
I do think they should be
Devlin Hodges was better. Yeah, Mason Rudolph is a massive cannon of an arm and absolutely no quarterbacking ability.
They've lost Bell, lost Brown.
Lost Roethlisberger.
Lost Roethlisberger.
They've lost Connor the Bees.
Connor has been injured.
Yep.
And Jalen Samuel. Jalen Samuel was the best receiving threat as well.
Yeah.
They are playing.
Go on. I've got it too. Go on.
The most catches by a Steelers running back in the Super Bowl era.
More than Samuel ever managed. Because that's all they can do. Dink and dunk or bomb it long.
Yeah, but it's working.
Mason check down Rudolph.
But you can't fault it. It's working. I do think they look better with Devlin Hodges. But if this is what they want to do, it's fine. And you've got to credit Tomlin. I absolutely agree.
Look, we don't expect them to go to the playoffs this year. I think the Ravens are probably going to win the AFC North, and the Browns
Well, they could wild card it based on the fact the rest of the division is utter shock.
There are better teams. There are better teams in the AFC South.
I would be surprised.
And the Bills.
It's a shock. I think it is a shock that they beat the Colts. I think the Colts have been playing very well. Maybe if Brissett had played the whole game.
We need to say Brissett.
The Colts lost that game. The Steelers didn't win that game.
But at the same time, I completely agree. Tomlin's having coaching out of his skin to get them to 4-4.
And should we move on to the Panthers?
Yeah, so
because Cam.
Well, I wrote this earlier. Will they resist Cam coming back as long as the playoffs are within sight and to stick with Kyle Allen? And they immediately stuck him on IR as I was driving over here this evening. It's the right thing to do. They're not going to win more games with Cam than they will with Kyle Allen. He is playing brilliantly. He had an off game last week against a very, very, very good defense.
Yeah, that's a good defense. You can't.
And
he
came back and played as well as he can do. And Christian McCaffrey on course for fantasy elitism. He is currently on course to score the highest ever number of fantasy football points. Higher than who?
Jamal Charles.
No.
What?
Is it a recent
Jamal
one?
Charles had Jamal the most Charles in one game.
Yeah.
All right, but no.
Is it recent? Give us an era.
2006, I think.
Matt Forte.
LaDainian Tomlinson.
LaDainian Tomlinson.
And he got 32 touchdowns in the season.
And I believe Christian McCaffrey is on pace to beat it by 7 points.
Good.
He is winning people's fantasy leagues.
When LT was MVP.
Yes, he was.
For fantasy purposes, he is a cheap player because he's that good and he's full of drugs.
he's pumped up.
Yeah. I don't know. He may well or may well not be. I couldn't possibly
allegedly.
Say. He's almost the perfect player, though, for a rookie. Well, I know Kyle Allen isn't a rookie, but an almost rookie quarterback, in that you can hand it off to him and you guarantee that he's going to get some yards, or he's there in the passing game and he is a safe pair of hands when it comes to receiving back.
It's just his juking an entire team one way that he seems
brilliant.
To be able to do.
Like, that one run, I think one of his touchdown runs, where he literally just burst through the offensive and defensive line, and suddenly he was all clear and he was gone.
The Tetons are pretty much doing Tetons things. They're going to be 8-8-ish again, aren't they?
Yep. just bound for 8-8 for the rest of time.
They seem to be like the new Bengals, just the measuring stick of average.
Yeah, that's pretty much. They should just bring Fisher back and carry on going 8-8 every year.
So we can presume that Mariota isn't going to get back in the starting lineup because Tannehill's actually playing all right.
Did he get another 300-odd yards?
He got 331 yards, but he did throw two touchdowns.
Two interceptions.
Sorry, yeah, two interceptions. One touchdown.
One of them was not on him. I can't think which receiver it was.
That Panthers defense is pretty good. I know they got absolutely...
Yeah, underrated, I think.
Yeah, they got absolutely railroaded against the 49ers. Yeah. But before that, they were a really highly thought of unit. So do the Titans try and get a quarterback, or do they try and stick with Tannehill through next year?
I've got this really weird feeling that they're not going to finish high enough to pick one of the best quarterbacks, and Tannehill will be starting there next year.
I think so.
I think it's entirely possible that is the case.
But they stack the defence, and they got Derrick Henry on his day is a decent running back.
The defence only needs tweaks to make it very, very good, right? Like one or two players at most.
Maybe one extra pass rusher.
And that is easier to do than finding a quarterback who can win out of the gate when you know Tannehill won't probably lose you many games. He doesn't lose many games, Tannehill. He just doesn't win you many games, like Alex Smith.
Yeah, if you want a slight upgrade, do you go for Dalton?
Possibly, but I don't think it's upgrade enough for what it might cost you. If it cost you a third round pick for Dalton, you might as well stick with
Tannehill. You might get him for free if they cut him.
You might get him for free, in which case, yes, you go for Dalton. But at most prices, you might as well stick with Tannehill.
I stick with Tannehill. I'm sure wages-wise as well, he's a lot cheaper than Dalton.
Definitely.
He will.
So, does anyone want to talk about the Bucks?
I'd like to interject. I've got my thoughts about the Bucks.
Nobody cares!
That's harsh.
It's a bit harsh.
I care very briefly for the fact that they took off like Usain Bolt in this game and really should have beaten the Seahawks and didn't. And all they did was inspire Russell Wilson's MVP level performance with 5 touchdowns for the first time in his career, by the way. 5 passing touchdowns in a game. Yep. 34-40 win.
Is there anyone else playing for the Seahawks at the moment?
Tyler Lockett is brilliant.
But is there a defense or anyone else?
The defense is not really rocked up, but they have signed Josh Gordon on offense.
Yeah, I'm not happy about
which
that.
Could be interesting or otherwise, we're not sure. Apparently they wanted Antonio Brown. Russell Wilson was pushing for Brown and they ended up with Josh Gordon, so really?
I mean
really? that's made you laugh, that Russell Wilson was pushing for Brown. Really? You're so immature.
Did anyone see... I know Mike did. Did anyone see Antonio Brown's picture of his Patriots ID badge?
Yeah, well, spelled the name wrong.
And not Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown. Excellent stuff. Well done, you. Yeah, I mean, look, there's not a lot to say about this game other than that Jameis didn't throw any interceptions. So they did fumble again.
Yeah, but he didn't throw any interceptions. And is that on him or is that on the Seattle defense?
I think he had a fairly good game, to be fair. Mike Evans, what did he have, 180 yards receiving?
180 yards.
And when is he leaving the Bucs?
Never, because they would never let him go. Yeah,
he should be holding out, pushing for all sorts of moves.
If it's not a Sunday, he should be tied to a radiator, never to be let go, because he's absolutely amazing.
Dark, man.
Terry White style.
Yeah.
Wow, that's dark, man.
But no, if he, I mean... To be fair to the Bucs, don't they have two of the top five receivers in terms of yards and
Godwin as well? Yeah,
Godwin has been amazing. I mean, actually, both teams have got a pair of really good receivers. Like you say, Lockett 152 yards, DK Metcalf 123 yards.
Yeah, so there are people playing, but not necessarily on defense, which we usually expect. Who is the best running quarterback in the league at the moment? Lamar?
Yeah.
And who's the best throwing quarterback in the league at the moment? Rodgers?
Mahomes?
Brady? Probably not Brady anymore.
Dalton. No, I wouldn't say
Dalton. Dalton. No.
Stafford.
Okay, pick one of those. I'll take Stafford. I think that as an out-and-out cannon arm. Do you not think Russell Wilson is the best combination of arm and running that you will ever see?
I think Russell Wilson's having an amazing season. What is he, 22 touchdowns and one interception?
Incredible. Like,
that's good numbers.
Like an old Deshaun Watson.
Well, I think it might be a shootout when the Seahawks play the 49ers, you know, because I think...
Well, you won't have to wait long.
No, it's next week, isn't it?
On Monday Night Football.
I wonder whether this might come down to which quarterback throws the most touchdowns as opposed to which defence plays better.
I think the Seahawks' offensive line is still bad and the pass rush of the 49ers is still good.
Yeah.
And I don't think Russell Wilson's quite as mobile as Kyler Murray.
Also true.
So I think there's more chance they can get to Wilson and disrupt... that passing game.
Lockett as well is just one of the smartest wide receivers in this league. You know, he makes the run, but then he'll change it to get free for Wilson. Like, he does...
They do seem telepathically connected as well. Lockett's been there a while now, so it's...
Before this game, they're only targeting him a few times a game. Four or five times a game, and he'd normally catch... He had 13 receptions this week.
That's what they need to do.
Yeah.
Earlier on, we were mentioning teams and players and coaches that pooped the bed. It was another bed pooping moment from Freddie Kitchens this week.
Well, that's a surprise.
The Browns suck. They are
just
so
one
bad.
Thing. How on earth did the Browns beat the Ravens earlier this year?
Luck, because everybody gets
he's
one.
Retired.
Yeah. look, they lost 24-19 against a rookie quarterback in. I want to say Kyle Allen. No.
Brandon Allen.
Who was picked about 4 years ago by the Jags, didn't play, went to the Rams as backup there, was third string.
To Ryan Mallett, was he?
No. Sean Mannion was the
Sean
backup.
Sean Mannion
was
the
backup.
I mean, it's not massive different, is it? I mean,
there isn't. But the point
he's like on the Cooper Rush level, isn't he?
Exactly. Yeah, but he was about as close to Sean McVay as I am. And now he's starting games for the Broncos and actually looked decent enough. Like, there were definitely some passes he wished he'd had back, but didn't turn the ball over.
Nope.
Got two touchdowns.
Yep.
And looked every bit better than Joe Flacco.
Cortland Sutton.
The Sutton catch was brilliant.
Cortland Sutton. I mean, he's a player coming out of the draft the year before last. I really wanted the 49ers to pick him because he looked amazing.
Who was the defensive back on that catch? I don't recall who it was. But he took the ball and the defensive back's soul in one go.
No, that was Denzel Ward.
Yeah, I think it might have been.
I don't think Denzel Ward could have done much better.
No, he couldn't. That's the point. He boxed him out entirely.
Perfect, yeah.
It's a great catch.
Sutton is a wide receiver number one for the Broncos for the next 5 years, if not more.
And maybe they found their answer at quarterback without resorting to Drew, I'm not ready to play ever lock.
Let's give him a few more games.
I understand, but the Browns' defence isn't the worst they'll play. and he looked better than Joe Flacco. So they should have no fear moving on with him for this season, is
I mean,
what I'm saying.
You might as well try him out and see what happens. I mean, they've got Drew Locke as well to come back. So I think in the off-season, it could be a battle between those two.
Drew Locke is going to be like, who's the fella that never played? Christian Hackenberg. He's going to be like him. He's going to be the high draft pick that just never turns up.
He's going to
look great in the XFL.
I doubt he'll even look great. He'll probably
the
look
X stands for extreme.
Kitchens is gone though at the end of the year.
Kitchens might not even make the end of the year. Noah Fant turned up for the Broncos.
Yep. At last.
There's been little spikes.
This was
there?
A breakout game. This was excellent stuff.
This is not. How can it be a surprise that a first round tight end was good?
It's not a surprise, but there's been zero consistency out of him this year. Like John said, there's been these little peaks, and then three games where he doesn't do anything. So,
but I think you always get that with rookie tight ends. I don't think they ever played that well in their first season. I think it takes two or three seasons. Like,
yeah,
Kittle is what he's in his third season.
Yeah,
now.
And he was an exception anyway as a talent.
I think Gronkowski took a couple of years to be really good.
Kittle had still had a quiet debut. There was him and the other tight end,
Vance McDonald.
No, Hernandez was killing it early on. That's my bad joke of the week. The Giants, speaking of boo, they lost 18-37 against the Cowboys last night, Monday Night Football. Cowboys' sixth straight win versus the Giants.
Not surprised, is it, though?
And the Giants have 22 giveaways this season already. You only had 19 in the whole of last season with Eli.
Yeah, but it's a rookie quarterback and a worse team.
I watched a fair bit of this match as well, and I mean, there's some hope around the Giants.
Yeah, they weren't terrible.
Daniel Jones looked all right. He was rushing yards were, well, they were better than Saquon Barkley's, who I don't think had enough chances to run the ball. He only had 14 carries. I think
he's got to be 20 carries a week.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the other side of it, Zeke Elliott had 23 carries. And I know his yards per carry was low, and he wasn't getting much luck. But you've got to give him more carries, or curry. Yep.
More curry.
Why not? Give him curry as well, if that helps.
That makes me run faster. Yeah.
And then kind of build off the play action plays for Daniel Jones. But I thought Daniel Jones looked all right.
He looks fine. He looks like a good rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
We need to improve the line, add some extra people on defense.
That's what I thought. If you improve the offensive line and then some pieces on defense, I reckon you've got a team again.
Yeah.
Speaking of pieces on defense, before we move on from this game, I do think the Giants must regret moving on from Jason Pierre-Paul.
Yeah, I think so as well.
I think that was a big mistake when they let him move away.
But they should get that cat back as well.
Oh, the massive black cat from the game last night.
To be fair, JPP would be a big hand on defense.
We've reached that stage in the evening.
So
there'll be fireworks if he came back.
Give himself a round of applause. Oh, we can't.
So, live from Athletic Bedfordshire.
Just thumbed that one in.
It's the Snap UK mid-season NFL Power Rankings.
Whee! Woo!
Ooh, yeah!
Gary submitted his. He's not here, so he can't explain his decisions.
But we can explain them for him.
So,
number one, Redskins.
There were some consistencies.
As ever, I suspect.
There were some quite massive drops from week four.
Well, yeah.
Who wants to guess the biggest drop from week four?
Ooh,
Chiefs.
Bears.
Chargers.
Bears. Bears have dropped 17 positions.
Ooh. and deservedly so. Fair, yeah. Where was the average position at week four, then?
Six.
Ooh.
They are now...
Yeah.
23?
They are now 23rd.
Yep.
That's about right.
Who wants to guess who number one is?
Patriots.
Nope.
San Francisco 49ers.
49ers.
Nope.
I put the Saints.
Saints.
Oh, okay.
I put them number two.
You did put them number two.
John, did you put them number one?
I put them number one.
Was the top three pretty consensus in that Patriots, 49ers, Saints? I think most of us probably would have had that.
Patriots, it's the Saints, Patriots, then the 49ers. The 49ers would be second if someone wouldn't have picked them in fifth.
For God's sake, Gary.
They're 8-0.
Come on.
Yeah. Once again, consistent Ravens, Packers, Chiefs. They're all much of a muchness.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, they've got an average of 4.8, 5 and 5.2.
Oh, okay.
Next, then, it's a dead heat... Dallas and Seattle.
Yeah, okay.
Cowboys.
We pronounce it Dallas on this podcast.
Technically, Seattle technically go higher because they've got someone put them in sixth, which was Paul.
Hello.
So
I had them in eighth.
Yeah, they were. The thing I find it hard with the Cowboys because
I don't rate them. I think the whole NFC East is a load of dog shit.
Yeah, but I still think they'll probably end up, you know, with a not a championship game, but going out the first round of playoffs, which is around seventh.
I think the Cowboys will get to the playoffs because they'll win the NFC East. I think the NFC East is probably the poorest of the NFC divisions. So the winner of that goes through. They're not the NFC East isn't sending a wild card into the playoffs. I'd take the Vikings, Rams, Seahawks over the Cowboys, and all of them are in wild card contention.
So after the Seahawks, it's the Texans, Vikings, Colts, Rams, Bills. But once again,
did I have the Bills much higher than everyone else?
You had them at 10th. No, 10th. You were you were higher, but not much.
Okay.
12th, 13th, 13th. I was the lowest at 14th.
Where did the Browns end up?
The Browns.
Because I put them ahead of the Steelers by 1 point, but like one place. But it was like a joint thing because whilst their record is slightly worse, they could definitely be a better team.
Yeah, they're playing like we said last week. They're playing like the Northampton Ladies Bowls Club next week, aren't they?
Browns are 22nd. Pittsburgh are four places above them.
Okay, fair enough.
So the Browns are just a bit inconsistent between us. Biggest gains? Anyone want to guess?
Biggest gains? Raiders
since week four. Nope.
Ravens.
Texans.
Yeah. Ravens.
Ravens have gained, but they were.
Where were the Texans at week four? I had them ninth this time around.
They were 18.
Wow.
The Panthers hit a bit of a streak because they were 2-2 going into week four, and now they're 5-3.
Yeah.
Panthers are pretty much where they were. They had an average score between us of 13.4, but in week four they were 15.5. On averages, so they're pretty much the same. The biggest gains are Texans and the Vikings.
So, John, this is unlike you, but you didn't start at the bottom. So, who was the bottom? Is it 0-8 Bengals for everyone?
No.
Okay.
4 inches.
Hello.
He put the Redskins bottom.
So the NFL.com rankings put them bottom?
Yeah.
Okay, just checking.
No. I could tell you all 32 of the teams I ranked.
Yeah, I bet you could. My bottom four were the Bengals, then the Jets, the Redskins, and the Falcons.
I remember Bengals, Dolphins, Redskins, Jets.
Our averages put it Bengals bottom, then Redskins, Dolphins, Jets, Falcons, Giants, Broncos. Yeah, I mean. Then the Bucks and the Cardinals, but just above the Bears.
I feel weird. I had the Cardinals above the Titans as well. I think the Cardinals have been very impressive to start the season. You know, for what they are.
I had them 23rd. I think that's fair.
Yeah.
And they're rising.
Yeah.
Seem to be a team moving up.
Yeah.
I think, I imagine when it comes to game 12, so week 13, we'll have a full view on the Cardinals because I think I've gone low on them and I regret it now. That was my fault.
Sorry, it's only power rankings, John.
Yeah.
There are plenty more things in life to regret.
There are. Kingsbury's coming round later. Doing well.
So, anyone want to talk about mid-season MVPs while we've got 5 minutes?
Like I said earlier, mid-season rookie offensive MVP, I would say Josh Jacobs.
I can't think of anyone.
Mid-season MVP for me is between Russell Wilson and Run CMC.
I think you'll put Deshaun Watson in there, not Deshaun Jackson.
He's Lamar terrible. Jackson? Is that who you meant?
Jeez, I meant Deshaun Watson.
Oh, Deshaun Watson. Sorry. not Lamar Jackson, just to be sure.
No, I mean, I would have Lamar Jackson in the top five.
I think it's McCaffrey for me is just the most impressive player
I think you're right. It's between McCaffrey and Wilson at the moment.
And on the defensive side of the ball...
I think it's McCaffrey way above, and then it's like Wilson, Watson.
Defensive side of the ball, is it the Bosa brothers, one for defensive player and one for defensive rookie?
Is that just how it works? Joey's been good in the last two or three weeks. He's not been consistently good all season.
No, that's true.
No, I think Nick Bosa's probably been better overall. Shaquille Barrett's still doing pretty well with the Bucks, so I think he's now up to 10, 11 sacks for the year.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, 10, I think.
But yeah, I think Nick Bosa definitely for rookie defensive player. Definitely. I think he stands a very good chance of overall defensive player of the year.
Fair enough.
Yeah. If you had to pick your Super Bowl predictions right now, who would you take? Who faces off in the Super Bowl if it happens today for you?
Saints, Chiefs.
I will go for the San Francisco 49ers against the New England Patriots.
Saints, Patriots.
Saints, Patriots.
I'm saying Saints, Chiefs. And then, but if you ask me who I think was going to win, it's the Patriots.
Obviously.
That would be such a Patriots thing to do, not even playing the Super Bowl and still win it.
Yeah. Plus, I'm just wanting something to happen more than it should. But yeah.
Well, I'm going on a different theory this year. Last year, it was kind of who I want to win, which is the Patriots. Whenever I pick somebody who's not the Patriots just go and bloody win it. So this year, I'm rooting for the Patriots to win because they don't when I've said they're going to before.
Fair enough. Yeah. Any surprises halfway through the season that, pleasant surprises?
I think the 49ers still. Like, I expected them to have a much better season, but to still be unbeaten, I think it's beyond most 49ers' wildest dreams, certainly Gary's.
Yeah.
I was delighted that when Darnold, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, and the other fella were all drafted the same year.
Baker Mayfield. Number one overall pick. Yeah.
It's really late at night. When they were all drafted the same year, I said the best two quarterbacks out of that class would be Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. And they are.
At the moment.
But they are.
Yeah, that's true.
Remember on our mock draft, I traded the Patriots up to get Lamar. If only you'd have been listening to me,
Belichick.
That would have
been amazing. You did do that.
So I'd like to give you my two pleasant surprises. Firstly, the Giants were brave and got rid of Eli.
Pretty early on as well.
Yeah. That was good, yeah.
And the other one I've got is, I've been genuinely enjoyed watching the Chargers suck a little bit. I can't tell you why.
I'd be quite happy if that class of 2004... Rivers, Roethlisberger, Manning all just quietly backed away from the league at the end of this year. I don't think they will. I think Roethlisberger's obviously going to be back.
I think Roethlisberger got one more year.
I think Manning might find another team just to go and bridge for a rookie quarterback next year. Yeah.
Oh, God, no. Well, I think Rivers might, but I don't think Manning will.
I don't know.
Well, and for disappointments, I can't see anything other than the Bears.
Falcons.
Jets.
Falcons.
Falcons. That's how bad they are.
That's how bad they are. They've been very disappointed.
The Browns have been disappointed.
Have you seen who the Falcons signed today?
Go on.
Korean Missile.
Did they?
Really?
Yeah.
I thought he signed someone with it. I thought he signed there already.
Showing the video of him doing the flip and everything.
Yeah, I think we did know that he was going there. I didn't know whether they'd already signed him or not, but we had heard this.
God,
that's
going to be fun.
That hero of their fans, Matt Bryant, was released for...
Hey, he could do a flip.
Well,
I've got one last story for the podcast. It comes from the ranks of college football, and it's Florida State who have released their coach Willie Taggart on an $18 million payoff after their private fundraiser raised $20 million to get rid of him. So crowdfunding to get rid of the coach because he's been that bad, and they've got rid of Willie Taggart. So if you want to go and coach Florida State, the job is now open.
Is that the Seminoles?
Yes, I believe so.
I'm a Gators fan, so I'll pass.
Each to their own, I say.
Absolutely.
Well, the story just made me laugh.
Our self-proclaimed fantasy genius is not here this week. But I will point out that for week 10, the buys are...
My entire team!
Denver Broncos, Houston Texans, Jacksonville Jaguars, New England Patriots, Philadelphia Eagles, and the Washington Redskins. If you have Washington Redskins players in your team...
Adrian Peterson over here.
That aren't Adrian Peterson. Oh, no, then you're doing something wrong. So, until next week, we'll say goodbye and we'll see you for a week 10 review.